Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. It's a beautiful, beautiful evening in New Jersey. I must say the weather is absolutely superb, and so is my guest this evening. As most of you know, my show is about childhood memories and how they influenced you to becoming who you are today. You also know and are so excited because most of my guests are really wonderful, accomplished musicians from the Jersey Shore area. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you the wonderful, who I've been listening to for 4 years now, Matt O'Ree of the Matt O'Ree Band, and also guitarist and vocalist with Bon Jovi. So hello there, Matt.
Hi, Nancy. It's so great to be here.
Yeah. It's great to be where you are, anywhere.
Absolutely. And you're correct. The weather is absolutely beautiful today. And it's just a great day to be talking to you. And I'm so happy that we can finally get this going.
I know. It's so funny. It's like, you know, I started looking around in Asbury. Well, I only moved back here. I grew up in Asbury Park. Everybody knows that, mostly, that listens to my show or that knows me. But I grew up in Asbury Park. But I just got really, and I have a CD out myself. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but it's if you haven't, you have to go listen to it. Or you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to private message it to you
okay,
so that you'll be able to listen to it. Because John Harrington, who's with Steely Dan, he was my lead guitarist. And Jeff Levine, who you probably know as a phenomenal B3 organ player, he was on it too. But anyway, getting back to you, Matt, this is what the program is about this evening. I've been watching you now for 4 years. I started going into Asbury, into the clubs, mainly, of course, the Stone Pony and the Wonder Bar. And then, of
course,
to the Paramount Theater and, you know, a few other places. But mainly the Wonder Bar and the Pony, because that's where, you know, all of the really great bands show up and that are going places. And for sure, you have really done an outstanding job with your career. And I remember seeing you just singing by yourself, you know, with your guitar and then with your band. And now coming to be where you are today. So my first question, and my only question really tonight, is who influenced you while you were growing up the most and why?
Which is an excellent question. And so, you know, every musician always has somebody that really inspired them to, you know, to pick up their instrument, whether it's the guitar, keyboards, or of course, you know, vocals and drums. And it's funny because, you know, a lot I've had this question so many times, and I always answer it the same way because there's just no other way for me to answer it, at least. But it was my older brother had come home with Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced? And I played guitar a little bit at that point, but didn't quite click just yet. Not until I had met a friend of mine at school. This is seventh grade for me, I guess, at this time. And I had no idea that my friend in seventh grade played the guitar. So I think it was the inspiration of wow, there's somebody else that's my age that plays the guitar. Cool, because I'm really into it, but I didn't really have any friends that did it. But I have to credit it to that Jimi Hendrix record. It was, you know, hearing what he did with the electric guitar was like so many other people that look up to him. It really was just life changing for me. And it's just, you know, the sounds, this technique, it was the whole package of what Jimi Hendrix really was. And it's, you know, it's for
right.
some people that aren't,
right.
you know, people that aren't musicians, you know, of course everybody knows who Jimi Hendrix is, but unless you've actually really studied his music, you know, thoroughly, to really understand the true genius of him and what his contribution was to the evolution
mm-hmm.
of the guitar, you know, it's always you know, just I have to credit him every single time, and I'm happy to because he's still my favorite.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I get goosebumps even just thinking about it and talking about it right now because I, of course, I play guitar nothing like you or like my brother Billy Ryan, the guitar man, or like,
sure.
you know, I'm a rhythm guitar player and I can do a little finger picking. I've been playing since I was 18 and I'm Well, I'm not going to say how old I am. Everybody, I always tell everybody, but because I look so great, but I'm not going to say it tonight. But anyway, listen, I got to say about Jimi Hendrix is that I'm a 60s generation girl. So I was growing up in the period of time where all of those absolutely phenomenal, outrageous Jimi Hendrix and all those great bands like Jefferson Airplane, and I can't even go through all of them, Bob Dylan and Arlo Guthrie and like all these, like you name them, everybody knows who they are, so I don't have to go through the list, and we don't have a lot of time. But Jimi Hendrix, when I think of him and the way he played that guitar, you're right. He was like a genius, and he was so unique in his method of the way he played guitar. And when I think of the way he played the Star Spangled Banner, you know, that Oh Say Can You See, that always, I always think of him. Ever since he passed away, I started thinking of that because it just is in my head of him playing that. That almost brings me to tears because, you know, we lost him so young, like Janis Joplin and so many of the other greats that were in that, like, kind of the same time period. So, but back to you, Matt. You have come a very long way, and you have worked really, really hard, and you have deserved it, every bit of the acclaim and the notoriety and the wonderful experiences that you're having now. And I'm just so happy for you and for Erin as well. I've been watching Erin for so long and always encouraging her from the very beginning for all this time. And I'm so proud and so happy of how far she's come with her career. It's just, it's like a fairy tale story, really, and is what it is. So,
you
know, when I read your biography, I wanted you to tell me more about, like, how you, you know, of course you became a globally known person when you were asked to join Bon Jovi. And, I mean, that's like, you know, other than Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi, who else can get you to that place that fast? So that's like a major, major accomplishment in your life, and I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you know, when I got to tell you, when I saw that, I said, oh, Matt, guitarist? Wait a minute. Oh, no. No, 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 no. And when I saw you, you know, from the get-go, I was just so excited, and I'm telling everybody, I'm going, look at Matt. My God, look at him. He's right up front. He's lead guitarist. He's like singing. Look at, he's singing. I mean, I was so excited for you because it wasn't like you were just like a little background, you know, rhythm guitarist. That you like just full on, like just dove into that front, you know, front seat with John, you know, with John Bon Jovi, and it was like incredibly electric.
Oh, thank you so much. It was.
It's,
you know,
true. I knew I'd be all excited. See, you can tell me to calm down. It's okay. I will.
No, it's okay. It's still even at this point, it's still surreal that I even A, had the opportunity to do that, and B, actually did do it. So it was really such an honor. You know, one of the stories that you had, or the questions you had asked me before we went on the air was things that have influenced you. And the first thing that came to my mind, besides the Jimi Hendrix thing, of course, was I was in high school, and a friend of mine took me to see Bon Jovi. This has got to be 1989, I think, maybe, when the New Jersey record came out.
Okay.
And I remember sitting in the stands, and my friend who took me to the show was also a guitar player, and he, at the time, wanted to pursue it as a career, which so did I. Which I knew that really from the minute I picked up the guitar, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. It was just an odd thing for a 13-year-old kid to be able to honestly be like, this is what I want to do, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Anyway, so
right.
I'm at the Bon Jovi concert, and John was on stage, you know, giving like this pep talk to the audience about following your dreams, and I forget honestly what his phrasing was and his verbiage, but it was essentially like, you know look where I went. I'm doing this. This was my dream, and I made it. And if you, you know, continue to work hard and follow your dream, there's nothing that you can accomplish. And I really, honestly, I took that to heart at 17 years old. I'm sitting there watching them. I'm like, I understand what you're saying, John. I totally
right.
get the message. And then I never would have thought all these years later that I'd be playing for him. You know,
it was your destiny. Well, it was your destiny. It was really meant to be. And it's like everyone, well, you know, because, you know, and I was there, you know, at the Music Awards, and I was there, you know, it's like everyone was so, the whole state of New Jersey was just so, like, excited. And, in fact, it goes way beyond the state of New Jersey, but everyone was so thrilled and happy for you because, really, you are, in fact, a phenomenal guitarist. And when I read your biography and saw that you beat out over 4,000 guitar players in the competition to win the grand prize at this, you know, it was the contest was hosted by B.B. King. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you a little story real quick. Well, I did meet him, B.B. King, at the Belly Up Tavern. I lived in California, Southern California,
okay.
in San Diego for 28
sure.
years. And I met him. I used to sit in and go to this club a lot. And anyway, B.B. King was playing there, and I met him after he came out, and I met him and talked to him, but that was a big honor. But it was hosted by B.B. King and John Mayer, and you won, and there were 4,000 guitar players, and you won that competition, the grand prize. I mean, to me, that is, like, incredible, and I didn't know that. And then it said, you know, that really sparked your career and the momentum
sure.
Of the future for the band. So that I didn't know that, and I was, well, yikes, wow, you go, guy, you know, like, then I really, I mean, I knew you were a really phenomenal guitar player, and I always enjoyed you, but I didn't know that it was to that extent. That's a huge accomplishment. 4,000 people is a lot of people. That's a lot of guitar players.
It was pretty stiff competition, too. The people that I performed with at the end, the last round, which was in Chicago, which is where B.B. King was, they were all such wonderful people and great musicians, great guitar players, and it really was anybody's game, you know, for the grand prize, and it just happened to work out in my favor that the judges felt that way, and
wow.
of course it was, you know, it was such an honor, but you're correct, it did help launch, you know, and give a lot more notoriety to you know what I'm doing with my career. And And to some degree it helped, you know, for me get into Bon Jovi too, because it was another accolade that John could look at and say, hey, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, in that competition, did you was that a totally solo competition where you had to perform solely, or did you have a band that you could perform with, or how did that work out? Like, how did the competition go?
There was in the beginning of the competition, that they gave all the applicants a CD of 15 different backing tracks, and they were about 3 minutes apiece, because your performance couldn't be any longer than that, because there was just so many people competing. It would have taken hours to get through them all.
Of course.
So for rounds one through four, for me, were in Manhattan. I was actually out in L.A. At the NAMM convention in Anaheim, which I attend every year. And
uh-huh.
I saw the ad for the competition in Guitar World magazine, and I started looking at the prizes, you know, of the different rounds that you win, and it was everything was so up my alley, because I was a huge Gibson, you know, guitar fan and performer of Gibson guitars,
right.
And they were the big sponsor, and Guitar Center was a huge, you know, was the other big host, and I'm a big fan of Guitar Center anyway. So after seeing all the prizes, I sitting in my hotel room in L.A., I'm like, I have to get involved in this. But by the time I had gotten home from the NAMM show, my local store of New Brunswick, all the spots were filled up for the competition. So I had to go to New York to continue to, you know, to keep,
right,
you know,
right.
to get involved. So
mm-hmm.
so anyway, round one through four for me was at the Manhattan store. So those four rounds, I had to perform along with the CD. It was almost like karaoke for guitar players, like,
right,
to some degree. And you have to go up there and you have to entertain people too. So it's like, it's kind of like you're acting a little bit, because you're not playing with a real live band. You're playing along with a CD. So, you know, but I had so much experience with that, because growing up, it was like, you know, the only way you could actually play with Led Zeppelin or play with Jimi Hendrix was playing along with the record. So I was so used to doing
exactly.
that anyway that it, you know, it was very comfortable for me. But so in the final round in Chicago, they provided a real band, and we had rehearsals with them and everything else too. So that was nice.
Right.
So at least in the final, round, you had some kind of inspiration or you know, with real musicians, because it is very difficult to perform along with a sterile CD that's not really, mm-hmm. they're not playing off you. It's just playing in the background.
Right, right. You know, it's funny you mentioned NAMM. Where I lived in San Diego, NAMM, their corporate office is in Carlsbad, California. And from their office, you can see the ocean. It's like two blocks away. And two of my very good friends work there. And so one year, my girlfriend, Alfie, who lived across the street from me, said, "Hey, Nancy, I've got two comp tickets for you for the NAMM." You know, the NAMM, and it was in L.A., and I took a girlfriend of mine. This was many years ago now, because I've been here 12 years, and that had to be at least, maybe 50. Anyway, the sad part for me was, I mean, I loved it, and it was so exciting being a musician to go and see all of these different companies, and from all over the world people are there. But the girlfriend that I took was a fantastic guitarist. But her back started bothering her. And I even had, like, backstage. I could have gone backstage. And the player that evening was Stevie Wonder. And I couldn't,
wow.
I just couldn't say, look, get a room or something. Like, I just had to take her. I mean, she was in excruciating pain. There was no way to get her any kind of pain medication. And I had to leave so I never got to go backstage and meet or even hear Stevie Wonder play live. So that was a bit of a bummer. But my friends are still there working at that corporate office. And right next door to the NAMM corporate headquarters is the Gemological Association. And so I went there too and did a whole so I was in NAMM in the corporate office, and I would go over there every now and then and meet my friends for lunch, and then we'd go. But that's really cool. That's really cool. Excitement. So, and I wanted to thank Aaron, and I did in the promotion, because my friend John Harrington of Steely Dan was supposed to be on my show one night last October, and at the very last moment, unfortunately, there was a death in his family, and so he had to cancel, and I thought, wait a minute, well, let me call, and you had just come off tour, I think it was, with John Bon Jovi, so I called, and I said, Aaron, I even asked Aaron, I said, well, Aaron, if Matt, you weren't available. And I said, well, Aaron, why don't you come on the show? You come on the show. Oh, no. Let me see what I can do. And this is like, I mean, I got the notice like not even a half an hour before my show. It was just one of those things, those last minute really, tragic. It was really unfortunate. But thanks to Aaron, I go into my studio not knowing I'm going to have anybody. In fact, I opened the show. I said, well, folks, I'm kind of a little bit upset because, my guest is, there's been a tragedy in his family, unfortunately. I don't know, maybe I'll just do a solo show tonight, and that's the way it goes. And then all of a sudden I see a number come on, and I pick it up, and who is it? But it's your Eric Saska. And so I interviewed Eric, and it was wonderful, and he did a great job. So people can still go and listen to him if they go to, I put the date, I think it was October 8th, 2015. They can just go to my address, blogtalkradio.com, or go to my Ryan Rocks Asbury Park style page, and, just scroll down to the show and then go listen to that interview. We talked a lot about you, too. We couldn't help it. I mean, we did talk about him, but we did talk about you because you had just come off of your tour with John Bon Jovi, I believe. So it was a really, thank you again, Aaron, for saving me that night. That was great.
I'm sure our pleasure to help you out any way we can.
Yeah, it was great. Well, I remember Erin was so – I remember seeing that I tried to get her a Gibson guitar because I know – you probably have that in common, the two of you. I know she loves the Gibson guitars as well. And
sure.
I tried to write – well, I wrote – they were having – I wrote to try to get her a Gibson guitar as a lot of times people – they'll promote – they'll give them away as promotional items. So I
sure.
used my radio show to introduce – myself, and unfortunately they said that all of their scholarship funds had been depleted for that year for giving away, but they were very thankful, and they said, thank you for contacting us. We're always interested in helping new artists. And I said, well, if you ever do have another scholarship, please put Erin Shule's name down, because she's really a great gal and a great guitar player and a great jazz blues singer, and she deserves one if anybody does. So, and Erin goes, I don't believe you did that for me, Nancy. That is, you're so sweet. And I said, well, why wouldn't I? I think you're, you know, I'm a fan, you know. I do, you know, I do this all for fun, for free, and for the love of the arts. I mean, this is my give back time. I've been given a lot, so this is my give back time. So, okay, we know, let's talk. Tell us about, you know, what your, well, you can tell us about your band members if you want. I listed them
sure.
all, of course, but you can tell me how that wonderful band came together.
That's it. It was, you know, another really great thing too. It was over time, of course, just like any other band that forms. But after I had won the Guitar Center contest, my longtime drummer, Bob Pantella, who played with me for 13 years, I guess, he picked up a gig with a band called Monster Magnet, which is out of Red Bank, New Jersey. And they started having some heavy touring over in Europe, so I had to find a different drummer. And around that same time, Eric had just joined his last band, had fallen apart. And I always wanted to have a B3 Hammond player in the band, because it's
mm-hmm.
pretty obviously for obvious reasons of the style of music that I play. It just fits.
Yes,
fits so
I
well.
Love it. I love it. I love it.
Me,
do you know, by the
too.
Way, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to ask you, have you heard Jeff Levine play ever? Have you ever heard him play?
Oh, he's tremendous. He's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Jeff Levine is on my song number 5. It's called Can It Be Real on my CD. He did a lot of it. He called it Synthesizer Sweetening, and he did it with his B3 organ. And he was also my audio engineer, so I'll give him a shout-out now because I love him, and he's been friends with my brother Billy for their entire lives. They, you know,
wow.
were together playing when they were in their, you know, not even 20 years old yet, I think. And so, yeah, for everybody out there, if you need a really great – well, he's so busy now, I don't even know if you'll ever be able to get him, but he does have a studio right below Shorefire, and it's called
sure.
Organic Sound Studio, and he was my audio engineer and sound man and master for 6 of my tracks on my CD. So, yeah, you rock it. He's one of the nicest men that you'll ever meet in the music business, and a phenomenal B3 organ player. And one other person
yeah.
I want to ask you if you've ever heard of or know – who's a B3 organ, because, you know, it's not like every day you have a B3 organ. And
no.
I've been listening to it since I was in my teens, because my friend Steve Lusardi, who they call the maestro, his name is Stephen
yep.
Lusardi. Do you know him?
I don't know him personally, but I do know of his ability. And, again, he's another fantastic.
You've heard of him,
player.
Yeah. He's really
yeah.
phenomenal. I was listening to him and singing at piano bars, and he's one of the best B3 organ players that I've ever heard as well. So they call him the maestro, and he was also on my CD. So, okay, continue with Eric Safka, who is, like, really,
sure.
you know, great, just great.
Absolutely, yeah. So you know, Eric and I had talked, you know, years prior to that of getting together, just about getting together and just playing. And then, so in 2008, it finally came to pass. And then my drummer had left, and we had a couple different drummers in the meantime until I had met John Hummel. And I met John Hummel through our old producer, John Liedersdorf, who owns Lake House Recording Studio and Rehearsal Studio
oh, right,
in
sure.
Asbury Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And John used to have the studio in his house, not far from Asbury. So John knew I was looking for a drummer, and he's like, you know what, you should check this guy out. And he sent me this MySpace, which, you know, it's funny now because nobody's even on MySpace anymore.
Yeah, right. MySpace is kind of gone to somebody else's space.
Exactly, yeah. John had an audio clip up there of him playing drums to some keyboard tracks, and it was like from the first like beat I heard, I was like, okay, that's him, because it reminded me so much of my old drummer Bob Pantella. It was a very similar style, but very John Bonham, which is my favorite drummer of all time. So.
Okay.
So I had sought out, and you know, to find John Hummel, and one night, ironically, he was playing down the street from where we were playing, in Belmar, New Jersey. So during our break, Eric and I and somebody else was, I forget who it was, we ran down the street to go hear John play, you know, a song or two during our break, and it wound up that John was playing with Billy Walton, who's another really good friend of ours, who's another great guitar player, great singer, songwriter. So that's how I wound up hearing John in person, because John was playing with Billy. Anyway, so long story short, John decided that what I was doing was more what he was looking for, and then Billy, ironically, Billy picked up John D'Angelo, who is a son of Joe D'Angelo.
Joey, he's moved away. He's in Texas now.
Yeah, he's in
Dallas.
He's
a great drummer. Both of them are great drummers.
He's awesome. So Joe played with
awesome.
He played with for me for about a year while Bob was out in Monster Magnet. So it's like what a small world. Anyway, so John now plays his son's with Billy Walton, and John Hummel's with me. And
oh, that's great. That's great.
So it all worked out for the better.
Right. And then you've got Scott Benner, and he's the bass player.
And I met Scott years ago. I was doing a gig down at Tom's River. I want to say 98, 99, something like that. And my bass player was in a car accident. Nothing serious, but he was a little bit banged up, so he wanted to take the night off. So, and he's like, I got this other bass player named Scott that could fill in for you. And mm-hmm. ironically, it was Scott's first paying gig that he ever had. And so,
oh,
and,
wow.
And so, and, you know, and then years had gone
That's
by.
That's a good story.
It's great. It's great. And so years had gone by, and I still kept in touch with Scott. And I always offered to Scott. I said, hey, man, you know, if you're ever looking for something more, you know, in that rock, you know, original vein, you know, I would love to have you. So, lo and behold, eventually it did happen. So now we got this great core, and now we have Aaron, you know, Aaron singing with me, and Leon Holmes is also singing with us too. So we have
two singers with us. Right, I adore her. I adore both of them, but I met Leon so many years ago. A wonderful woman and great singer, and I'm definitely want Aaron and Leon both to be on my show, of course.
Sure.
And we'll schedule them. But Leon, I met. I went up one Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday night to McClune's to Mark Riebler's not open mic, but jam. And I sang that night, and that's the night that I met her. And she's just the sweetest woman, too. She's great. She's great. But this has been really wonderful having you on the show. And I have to ask you, I used to do hour shows in my studio, in the studio at Hamilton, but people had to drive so far. And like I said, now it's my own. It's Ryan Radio, and it's my own show, and I'm really enjoying it, and I have so many people. Like, I must have 100 people still on my list, waiting list, to be on my show, because it's so much easier for artists that are so busy, like yourself, to just call in. And, you know, you don't have to drive an hour. You don't have to, you know, it's an easy thing. And the promotion that I do, too, gives me such joy, because afterwards, you know, you're going to be everywhere that you were promoted. They're going to just see the show. They're going to see the show, and they're going to be able to click. Like me, I'm lazy. I don't want to. Don't tell me all these different links to go to and click on this and click on that. People aren't going to do that. People are lazy today. Okay, I can't call you any of you lazy, but by any means. But I like to just, okay, there it is. Click it, and you hear it. And that's what you do with my shows. And they're archived forever. And so, and
that's
they're
going
to go on every single place that I promoted you. They're going to go right on all those 108 pages and on LinkedIn and Twitter and everywhere in the world. And, well, thank you, Bruce, again, because I have been putting my shows on about 10. I'm the only female in the world, I think, that's been promoting my shows on about 10, mostly in Europe, because they love my show and they love it that I'm from Asbury Park and they know me as a singer. And they know, you know, so they always go, you know, Croatia, oh, we love your radio, you know, we like your radio show. So Bruce is kind enough and no one's ever complained, and so I continue to do it. So you'll be on Bruce Springsteen's, on his, and I know that he loves you anyway, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Willie Nile, and he's, you know, and just like Jon Bon Jovi, I mean, I know that you guys, you know, like musicians, they, if they like you, and your music, I mean, musicians have such a bond anyway already. That, and
sure.
It's like a silent understanding. It's like you're in the same tribe, you know. In California, I had a really big house. And I had a, well, I had got a divorce, and I had this really big house, way big, too big for me. And so I got a roommate, and this angel appeared, and we talked, and then he left, and then he called me, and he went to look at another place down in Del Mar, very ritzy area of town, and he owned his own business, and he was from L.A. But he came back, he called me in a half an hour, and he said, hey, Nancy, I think this will be good. And I said, I think so, too. And he was a musician, of course, and we had talked about that. And we were great, great roommates for like 5 years. And he had been in bands most of his life, and then he had an IT tech business and was, you know, establishing himself in San Diego. All right. That's enough about that. I got off the beaten track.
That's okay.
My question that I have before we go, because it's unbelievable that the time has gone already and I have 10 nonprofits that I have to talk about, and I just wanted to ask you, the first time you stood on a stage and looked out over a sea, I mean, you were used to big crowds, yes, but...
Not like that.
looked out on a Bon Jovi concert, like a touring sea of people. What was that very first night like for you?
I guess the best word that I could describe it would be, it's because you've worked your whole life, you know, and looked at the posters on your wall in your bedroom, you know, always dreaming of being, you know, of doing something of that magnitude. And you know, I played some pretty big crowds with my own band, but nothing like that. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, it was 50,000 to 70,000 people every night. So the very first show, it really was magical because it was I felt so out of place before the show because I just didn't, you know, I don't know what the protocol is, I don't know what the etiquette is, all that kind of stuff. And then as soon as we hit the stage, it was almost like I was back at home playing in a small club. So it was very surreal. And then a couple times during the show where I didn't have to play anything or sing anything for you know, 30 seconds or 20 seconds, I was able to just take a look around and witness, you know, that kind of audience. It was a dream come true, really. It's just the best way to put
absolutely.
It.
Oh, absolutely. That's the same question I asked. I was asked to interview Michelle Moore, who sings Rocky Ground with Bruce, and I did. And actually, I asked her the same question, and she said it was pretty darn awesome to, you know, be with Bruce Springsteen and to be singing that song up on stage. And she said, Nancy, the first time I did, she said he asked me to rap. I said, wait a minute, I can't rap. And he goes, oh, yes, you can. And you know, she was like, and then I promoted two of her shows for her, the 9/11 shows that she did at the Stone Pony. But I'll tell you what, this has been a real honor. First of all, it's been very exciting and rewarding for me as an onlooker and a fan to have watched you for the past 4 years in Asbury Park go from where you were and to end up, you know, having a fabulous band of your own, and in addition, you know, joining Jon Bon Jovi. And I look forward to the show at the Stone Pony. If you want
Thank
to tell
you.
Us about that, you can.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's on June 18th. It's almost a week away. Tomorrow will be a week away. And it's going to be a really – it's just a – it's always great to play the Stone Pony because it's just such a legendary place and stage, and it's just great people mm-hmm. that work there. And they've all been so supportive of my career for years now, even before the Bon Jovi stuff. So we're going to be doing a show. We're going to be featuring our newest single release that's from our forthcoming record called Shelf Life. That's my last record called Brotherhood.
Right.
And the single is called My Everything Is You, and I co-wrote that with David Bryan from Bon Jovi, and he also produced
that.
The song too. Yeah,
I noticed that. That's really great. That's really great. I'm really looking forward to hearing that song.
Oh, thanks. David's going to be there. He'll be at the show, and he'll be sitting in with us for a good part of the set too. And of course, we'll be.
Oh, that's wonderful. Here. Oh, that's really great. That's really great. I didn't know that. So that's really great for the listeners to know as well. And I do know Colossal Street Jam, who are a wonderful band, and I did interview their lead singer. So, and I follow them every time I see when they're touring, and I'll do the same for you. When I see that you're touring or doing things in other states, I always like. Put on, you know, I mean, even like Mike Marino, he sends me all his stuff, and I put it on my page. I let people know. I continue. I don't just have you on the show, promote you, and then that's the end of it. When I know that you're doing something or I see that you're somewhere, I always will, you know, give you a big holler out. So I'm a busy gal because I've interviewed some really fantastic people that are very, very busy and touring everywhere. So, and it's great because then they recommend, you know, like Mike Marino, you know, had his friend Jimmy Lee call me up and go, but you have to have me on your show. I'm gonna be doing a reality TV show. And I'm like, but I can't do it. But anyway, I ended up doing it. And it's like, I can't say no. You know, when somebody calls me and they have some big thing going on, I just have to do it. So with that said, I will be seeing you absolutely for sure on June 18th.
Awesome.
And I thank you very much for being a guest on my show, Ryan Rocks It, Asbury Park Style. This has been really a great interview, and I am glad that I put my chatter teeth because I really was pretty good tonight. usually at the beginning of the show, I always forget to tell people, but I should put a sign on my wall. If I am talking too much, tell me just keep quiet, Nancy, because I am really, as you can tell, a talker. And forget it.
Okay.
If I have anything sweet or sugar or coffee or something before, then I'm done for. And I did. I had two pieces of chocolate before. Dark chocolate's my favorite, about an hour ago. So I'm still riding on that wave. You know what I mean? So thank you, Matt O'Ree. Thank you, Matt O'Ree, very much. And we all look forward to seeing you and listening to your new song and hearing, seeing Colossal Street Jam again. And, of course, it's always a pleasure, I mean, to see you. And tell Aaron and all of your band members and Leon that I give them my best regards always. And you can hang up because I'm going to take 5 minutes and I have, like, 9 nonprofits that I have to acknowledge before I say goodnight. So,
no problem.
See you soon, Matt. Thank you again. You
okay.
did really a wonderful. So. It was a wonderful interview. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, and I look forward to too. I'll say this publicly. I look forward to. I'm going to get in touch with John Bon Jovi's people because I really would like to add them to my list. I'd like to have them number 10. I have really the best nonprofits in the state of New Jersey that I mention after every single radio show, and I would love to add the Soul Kitchen as one of my nonprofits, but I do know I have to go through certain channels for that, so I'm going to get busy on that very soon. My last one that I added, just for your knowledge, is the wonderful Tim McClune, you know, who is a fantastic restaurateur and an acclaimed, well, I was going to let you go so you can go relax now, but anyway, he was my number 10, so it would, no, he would be my, I did do a number 10, I have 11, he was my 9th, Holiday Express, he's on my nonprofit, my list of nonprofits. All right, well, now I'm going to let you go because I've got to get busy here and get off before I get a big sign. We're cutting it. No, they never cut me off. All right. Well, thanks again, Matt. I'll see you soon.
No problem. Okay, sounds great.
Good night. Have a great evening.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks. That was Matt O'Ree, and it was a wonderful interview, and I'm so happy. I was so excited to have him on my show. You know, when you see someone perform for that many years and watch them go, you know, really accomplish such wonderful feats and become really iconic. I didn't tell him that, but it's really true. Like, you know, when you join an iconic band like John Bon Jovi, that is an enormous feather in anyone's cap. So thank you again, Matt. It was my pleasure having you. My nonprofits, each one of my nonprofits have been on my radio show in person, mostly because most of them were traveling to Trenton when I was with Hamilton Radio. And they are Minister Steve, Tent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, my friend Allison Saho, City of Angels, Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties, the Monmouth County SPCA, Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation, number 9, Holiday Express, as I just said, which is Mr. Tim McClune is the founder. He was also the founder of the Shirley's, and he owns a lot of wonderful, wonderful restaurants, including my favorite in Asbury Park, the Supper Club on the boardwalk. And my very last nonprofit is the InfoAge Science History Learning Center and Museum, and that's my dear friend Patricia Ario, artist. And that is a nonprofit organization. So, and if you haven't been out there to, I believe it's called, just go on Facebook and you can find it, and it will tell you where to go. It's called Camp Evans. It used to be Camp Evans, and now it's a museum. And go on out there, and you can see a lot of artists' work there. In addition to that, I had just taken, after almost 4 years in radio, I have a wonderful new dentist, and her name is Dr. Inna Silman, and her husband have a third office, a brand new office on Broadway in Long Branch, and it's called Smiles on Broadway. If you want a really good dentist, and she's taking on new patients at very affordable prices, I highly recommend her. And thank you, Dr. Inna Silman, for believing in me and my radio show. With that said, I'm going to say goodbye to everyone, and you will be hearing from me in approximately 2 weeks on a Thursday night. Bye, everybody. Have a great evening.